fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Coming up on Wednesday's show, I'll talk with my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro, about the new National Basketball Association season. Magume Davis Rakowinj has a feature on the Taifa Stars of Tanzania and their chances at next year's Africa Cup of Nations football tournament. And Iron Mike Mbonye chats with Daniel Igali, the president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation. In pro basketball, the Denver Nuggets began defense of their NBA title Tuesday night with a 119-107 victory over the visiting Los Angeles Lakers. The evening began with the Nuggets receiving their rings and watching as their championship banner was hoisted to the rafters at Ball Arena in Denver, Colorado. Denver's Serbian star Nikola Jokic was among those taking it all in.
We as a group, as a collective group, we went and we're going to remember one time in the history or whatever. So we're going to be remembered as a champion. So I think it's a really nice moment in life.
Jokic dominated with a triple-double, 29 points, 13 rebounds, and 11 assists, all game highs. Meanwhile, teammate Jamal Murray contributed 21 points to Denver's opening night win.
The ring ceremony was a lot better than I thought it would be. So they did a great job. Fans were into it. It was nice to have a moment there and then get right back to work. I thought we took that energy, that confidence, and went right into the game with it.
Superstar LeBron James, the oldest player in the NBA at 38, led the Lakers with 21 points and 29 minutes on the court. Now, the Lakers are monitoring LeBron's minutes to start the season. LeBron says the Lakers didn't take care of the ball, which made things easy for the Nuggets.
If we don't get back in transition, where they're very good, and if we don't box out, when they shoot the ball and give them second chance points, they're already too elite offensively. So you're allowing them easy baskets in transition, and you're allowing them easy putbacks on second chance points.
In Tuesday night's other NBA game, the Phoenix Suns beat the host Golden State Warriors 108-104 in San Francisco, California. Guard Devin Booker scored a game-high 32 points for Phoenix.
You know, this is a good win for us. You know, I think, you know, a test like that the first game, how we can see the energy sway and, you know, the game go back and forth and then tighten it up down the stretch to get a win. It was big for us.
So, good wins for Phoenix and defending champion Denver on the NBA's opening night. Joining me now for some hoops analysis is my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. What's going on?
The Phoenix Suns and the defending NBA champion Denver Nuggets score victories on the opening night of the new NBA season. Let's begin with the Nuggets, Mukbil. What did you think of their pretty easy win over the Lakers?
Interestingly enough, Sonny, I feel as though nothing really changed from the Western Conference last year. Similarly, the same kind of situation. You have LeBron overloading himself, trying to do what he can to will his team to win. Unfortunately for them, they just were unable to get over this strong Denver Nuggets team, man. And I think Denver has shown just from an introductory game, welcome back, this is still our league. Like, this was not a one-off instance where people may have thought, okay, the Denver Nuggets had this miracle run to get to the finals, but they're not, within their core, they're not that great. It couldn't be further from the truth. You still have guys like, you know, Michael Porter Jr. Put up 12 points, Aaron Gordon with 15, Contavious Caldwell-Pope put up 20. Alongside the two big names, man, the dynamic duo, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, Jokic had 29, 13, and 11, triple-double. Jamal Murray with 21 and 6. So, you know, from that perspective, you have these guys that are still doing at a high level. I feel like the Lakers, to be honest with you, really didn't stand a chance in this game. From their perspective, LeBron put up 21 points, but then you have Anthony Davis with 17. Torian Prince, who's a new pickup for them, put up 18 points. A lot of them were, you know, decent looking threes. But all in all, like, the team wasn't doing what you had expected them to do to want to avenge themselves from the Western Conference last year. So, yeah, Nuggets easy win.
Now, Mukbil, LeBron at 38, the oldest player in the NBA. I think he played 29 minutes last night. And the Lakers have said they plan to really monitor his minutes, at least at the start of the season. Do you think he can make it through, a very grueling NBA season at his age?
With LeBron and how he's taking care of himself, you can see he has lapses and instances where he maybe isn't guarding the best offensive player, you know. So he's mindful of how he utilizes his body this late in his career. So with that IQ, I think, yes, he can still last. And also the way that he takes care of his body. We all know that, you know, he puts millions of dollars into himself and physical care. So I think LeBron, for the most part, will be all right. But, you know, father time, you know, just cannot, you just cannot avoid father time regardless. So we are starting to see later in his career that little kinks and issues are causing problems for him. But interestingly enough, I think of the starters, I think he was the only one that had a positive plus minus. So that still shows that, you know, the entire offense is going through LeBron. And when he's still playing, his team is winning. They were up his plus minus, I believe, was like seven points plus. So when he's on the floor, they're up by seven. Soon as he takes his breaks, all hell breaks loose for the Lakers. So they have to find a way to mitigate that. As we mentioned, late in his career, he cannot be playing extensive minutes. You know, LeBron used to play 38, 39 minutes a game sometimes. You know, 29, 30 is around where I think he's going to be all season.
Mukbil, getting back to the Nuggets and their quest to win another title. The NBA has had five different champions over the past five seasons. So that shows you right there how difficult it is to repeat. But just based on that opening night performance, it seems like Denver is not going to be relinquishing that title easily. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the West has gotten a lot stronger, though, from last year with the second team that we're going to be talking about, the Phoenix Suns, having an insane amount of firepower. It just doesn't make sense. We'll go into that when we talk about Phoenix. But yeah, Denver's not going to have an easy route to get back to the finals. But I think that there is a huge discrepancy in talent from the West Coast to the East Coast. Even just simply look at it from the perspective of the fans, right? You have opening games, opening day, and all four teams are from the West. Just shows you that the West is really where, I mean, the West has historically been a stronger stronger side, a stronger conference, I should say. But, you know, throughout certain glimpses and years, interestingly enough, though, Michael Jordan and LeBron James made a huge killing of theirs on the Eastern Conference. So, you know, bro, it's kind of funny.
Well, let's talk about those Phoenix Suns, Mukbil. They begin their season with an impressive 108-104 road victory over the Golden State Warriors. Sort of a homecoming for Kevin Durant. Phoenix, Devin Booker in particular, looked really strong. Your thoughts?
I think, yeah, Kevin Durant definitely had himself, I'd say, a comfortable game. Played about 37 minutes, 18 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists. very comfortable type of game for KD. You know, 18 points is really on a lower end for KD. As we know, he can go off for 35, 40 any given night. But yeah, absolutely the Devin Booker show. If anybody had any questions about this young man, you know, making it to where he's gotten to, and kind of just this being, you know, I wouldn't say his coming out season. He's had already a couple of coming out seasons. But I think some GMs actually were throwing around the question and saying whether or not they feel as though if it's Devin Booker versus Klay Thompson, or is Devin Booker the new Klay Thompson? And to me, I think that Devin Booker poses so much more offensive skill sets than Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson is, I believe, a better defender than him. But offensively, Devin Booker really he's really up there. It's difficult to find somebody that has that level of, you know, mid-range three-point shooting. He can kind of get to his spot similarly to like what Kobe would do, right? So I think, yeah, Devin Booker really had a showing. 32 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds. Easy for him. On the other side, though, you have the Warriors. You have Steph Curry going off for 27. So it was kind of like Steph versus Devin. But Klay Thompson had 15 points, 7 rebounds. Chris Paul, 14 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists. So it's interesting to see that they were able to get him into rotations. He played about 34 minutes as well. So I think that the Chris Paul project might actually work. the one thing that I will say, though, the reason why I think that this game was a lot closer than people may have expected was Bradley Beal was out with a lower back issue, I believe he got during preparation for this opening game. I believe coaching staff has said that they want him, or they wanted to make sure that he was fully healthy and ready to go. He just wasn't. So they weren't
even at full strength.
No, not at all. Now think about that, right? Bradley Beal is going to be guarded by the third best defensive player on any given night. Do you understand? Like, people don't understand really what that means. Maybe this team is not great defensively, but from an offensive perspective, they'll just outscore everybody, because I believe he had a spiel where he went off for 30 points. I think he averaged 30 with the Wizards a couple of years ago.
That's right.
Yeah, so to have a guy of that caliber who can go off for 30, 40 maybe even, being guarded by the third best defender on a team, it's going to be scary for those guys.
And you use that word scary, Muckbill. Somebody that's already turned in some scary performances in the preseason, Victor Wembanyama. Wemby, I know we've talked about him as he you know, gets ready for his rookie season in the NBA, but I would like to get your thoughts on another big man, and he has played against Wemby in the preseason. Chet Holmgren of the Oklahoma City Thunder. He missed all of last season because of injury, but he's another very agile big man who can shoot.
Interesting thing about Chet, I believe he really wasn't on people's radar prior to him actually, going to Gonzaga and then, you know, having that stellar season and then being drafted second overall. Chet went to a Steph Curry camp and had a couple of highlight clips on Steph Curry where he crossed him over and then had like a step back three on Steph or something. And granted, Steph doesn't really play seriously with the kids, but the clip went viral. He goes from being unrecognized or like unranked to like super ranked, like really fast. His skill set is amazing. He is, of the thinner build, as some of the guys are nowadays in the NBA, because you don't really have to be super muscular and big anymore to be in the league if your skill set is good. But yeah, having seen him and Victor kind of go at it was very interesting, because their skill sets, I would say, are similar. It's just that Victor is just that much bigger than him, right? And it's crazy to say that somebody is that much bigger than a person who's already 7 foot. I think they list Chet at about 7'7", Victor 7'4", with like an 8 foot wingspan. But it's going to be very interesting to see these two young men go at it. Very skilled. I think Wemby might pose a little bit more of a dribbling, because his style, he plays so much like a guard. You've seen plays where Victor is kind of just at the top leading the offense at 7'4". It's almost like a video game character. You don't believe you can see this. And then even the thing that I love about Victor from a defensive standpoint is he looks like he enjoys playing defense. That's something that has kind of gone away from the game, where, you know, you see guys even that are good at defense, they just don't look like they're having fun. But this kid like has fun on both sides of the basketball court. I remember in preseason when they played the Golden State Warriors, there's a clip where he is at maybe is just a little inside the key, but towards the free throw line, and the ball gets swung to Andrew Wiggins, and Andrew Wiggins shoots a 3-pointer. And he makes up from that. I believe he takes one step from inside the key where he's at, and he's able to block the shot. That, my friend, is scary. Andrew Wiggins is 6'7", and he gets a lot of jump on his 3-pointers. It's not kind of like the threes that Clay or Steph shoot, where they barely get off the ground. He really gets off the ground. So for him to be shooting a jump shot three and to be able to get blocked from inside, you know, one step inside the key is absolutely insane. I've never seen anything like it.
Talking hoops with Mukbil Yabberoad. Thank you, Mukbil.
Thank you for having me, Sonny.
Tanzania's national men's football team, nicknamed the Taifa Stars, is expected to face a tough challenge at next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Ivory Coast. As we hear now from Magume Davis Rakawinge, the Taifa Stars have been drawn into a difficult group. Sporty Wednesday greetings, Magume.
Sporty Wednesday greetings to Sonny and our listeners. Tanzania was placed in Group F alongside World Cup semifinalist Morocco, former champions DR Congo, and Zambia. Tanzania sports enthusiast and analyst Salume Palembo says it is nice to be placed in a group that has some of Africa's very best.
You're speaking of Morocco, who have been champions back in the 1980s. You're speaking of DR Congo, who have also been champions. You're speaking of Zambia, who recently, meaning that 11 years ago, they were champions of this tournament. So we were very excited after the qualification, but now we've got very hard work to do.
Palembo says the Taifa Stars have mastered the playing style of some national team players from DR Congo and Zambia who feature for Tanzania clubs. A couple of Congolese and Zambia players play or have played in the local Tanzania league. Palembo also says he believes national team coach Adil Amrouche, the Algerian, knows a thing also about the Africa top-ranked team, Morocco, which is a clear favorite in Group F. He also says Taifa Stars are getting the much-needed experience by playing in continental club engagements.
We're speaking of young Africans and Simba in the CAF Champions League group stages. And these teams make up almost half of the national team, meaning the Taifa Stars. So we are going to use these tournaments as a curtain raiser, a place where our players are going to get the experience.
Tanzania's main undoing in continental meetings has been a lack of goals. The Taifa Stars scored a patrol 3 goals en route qualifying and failed to score when they last participated at AFCON finals in 2019, heading home without a single point. But the Taifa Stars have a good record playing against Giants Morocco, having beaten them 3-1 in the FIFA World Cup Africa qualifying Group C match in Dar es Salaam way back in 2013. The record against Zambia is not pleasing, having lost 16, drawn 6, and only managed 5 wins. The record is square against fellow East Africans DR Congo, at least in the more recent games, with each country boasting of 3 wins and 2 draws in the last 8 games. Leon Senyange, a sports analyst from Uganda, says the entire SEKAFA region should rally behind the Taifa Stars.
Tanzania is drawing some good momentum for East Africa. There have been challenges for Kenya, who were kicked out of the qualification, only to be reinstated recently back into international football. Uganda has struggled embarrassingly. Rwanda itself was through a rebuilding process. So, Tanzania is carrying that East African flag. And I want to believe that they have the momentum, they have the zeal, they have all reason to try and perform well through that competition.
Fan Lilian Mukulu says she will travel to Ivory Coast to cheer up her nation. She's optimistic the Taifa Stars will do better this time around.
I've seen the president of Tanzania, our honorable president, Samia Suluhu Hassan. She has been one among the best fans of sports in Tanzania. She has been there in every situation. I remember in the qualifying, she was giving money for any goal scored from Tanzania. So this thing, it's giving us encouragement, and I believe under the Ministry of Sports, they know we have a very difficult task in front of us. They know they have to do a very good job. And us as Tanzanians, our prayers are with the team. For me, if you ask me, I would really love to go to Cote d'Ivoire and watch my team play. I believe it's a history in the making. I believe you're going to be the surprise package in AFCON 2023 in Cote d'Ivoire.
Senyange says the Taifa Stars must do one important thing, win group stage matches.
Morocco are certainly the heads-on favourites to advance. They're at a different level compared to the rest of Africa. Zambia and the DRC could conjure out a couple of results. Tanzania, and those would be the teams for Tanzania to beat to potentially get out of that group. So you really can't cut them out. Would they be the surprise underdogs of the tournament? I think they need to first get through the group stages and then work it out through to whichever phase they can advance to thereafter.
The Tanzania Football Federation is looking at the prospect of naturalizing players and keeping some Tanzanian nationals playing their trade outside Africa. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume. The Nigeria Wrestling Federation recently held a training course for coaches and referees in Yenagoa, the capital of Bayelsa State, Nigeria. The course was supported by the International Olympic Committee. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye called Yenagoa, where he reached Federation President Daniel Igali.
The IOC, in its magnanimity, offered an opportunity for the Nigeria Wrestling Federation to upgrade the coaching credentials of about 25 coaches. It was a one-week-long course, and we were able to have all 25 coaches here for the course. We had instructors from the United States, from Tunisia, and also from Cote d'Ivoire. At the end of the course, we had a very sizable number of them that passed the level 5 coaching course. And because some of them had not gone through the level 1 and 2 courses, a good percentage of them also had the level 2 coaching qualification, and some, very few, had the level 1 coaching qualification. So we now have about 25 coaches that are duly accredited to coach nationally and internationally in the sport of wrestling.
Looking ahead to next year's Paralympics, which Nigerian wrestlers do you think are medal contenders?
I'm looking ahead to the Paris 2024 Olympics. Our goal as the Federation is to qualify a sizable number of athletes for the Olympics. At the last Olympics, we had about 5 athletes that qualified. And this time, we had 7 athletes that qualified, but this time we're hoping to qualify about the same number of athletes. If we can have all 6 female athletes qualify and a couple of guys qualify, that would be great. I think we do have good chances of doing well at the Olympics. Our goal is to be on the podium at the Olympics. Who will be able to do that for us is what I can say at this point. But the first
port of call would be to have the athletes qualify for the Olympics. Right now, we only have Oduanyo Adekoroye, who won a bronze medal at the World Championships and automatically qualified. So we will need to go to Alexandria, Egypt, in March next year for the Oceania Africa Olympic qualifiers. And then we'll know how many of them will qualify.
Nigeria Wrestling Federation has an edifice in Yenagoa for wrestlers. Can you throw more light on the facility?
When I became president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation in 2013, I started working on an edifice for the Wrestling Federation. One of the things I observed was the inability of athletes to train year-round because of a lack of facilities. So I started working on a facility in Yenagoa. And so far, we have a wrestling gym that contains a full-size wrestling mat. And we also have an accommodation facility that has 15 rooms that can conveniently house about 34 athletes and officials. The facility has been in existence since 2018. It was fully completed in 2018. And the Nigeria Wrestling Federation has our national camps in this facility in Yenagoa. And younger athletes are also able to come here and train virtually year-round. So that's why you've seen the upturn in the performances of our athletes, wrestlers from Nigeria, because we have a facility where athletes can come and train year-round.
That's Daniel Igali, the president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Yenagoa, Nigeria.
Hi, my name is Daniel Igali, president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation, world and Olympic champion. I want to say a big shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. And thanks also to Iron Mike Mbonye for that interview. The Arizona Diamondbacks will play the Texas Rangers in Major League Baseball's World Series. The D-backs beat the Philadelphia Phillies Tuesday night to advance to their first World Series in 22 years. The AP's Michael Luongo reports from Philadelphia.
The Diamondbacks captured the National League pennant with a 4-2 Game 7 win over the Phillies in the National League Championship Series. Arizona took the lead for good in the top of the fifth on RBI singles by Corbin Carroll and Gabriel Moreno. Carroll drove in a second run in the top of the seventh to put the D-backs back in the World Series for the first time since 2001.
We've got a team full of guys with all sorts of different stories, all sorts of different, you know, hardships they faced along their way in their careers, and so it's just, I'm just excited to share it with these guys.
Alec Bohm, home run for the Phils. Michael Luongo, Philadelphia.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news. Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week, for the 5-minute VOA newscast. We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from across the world. Give us 5 minutes, and we'll give you the world. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
And that wraps up the October 25th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.